Welcome back to Believe in Ravens podcast, folks. This is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, your number one trusted source in online sports wagering and parlays. You can find them online at BetOnline_AG. Daniel Wilcox, Matt Trigger here for some Ravens off-field news for the month of January 2025. Really just covering the last couple weeks and today in particular. For those of you that are following intently along with the Ravens offseason, Justin Tucker has run into a little bit of a problem. It's all allegations at this point. Nothing substantiated in terms of validity. But the Baltimore Banner today came out and stated that Justin Tucker got a little bit too friendly with about a half dozen massage therapists in the greater Baltimore County area. And that's looking a little dicey right there, Daniel. It's been going around throughout some circles, unsubstantiated, of course, but this was going on for the better part of his career as a Raven. And honestly, with the rumors circulating about his personal life melting down family-wise, just rumors, the kicking woes kind of make a little bit more sense. Mid-year, if there was a
you gonna put the kicking woes on a massage therapist?
I mean, you normally you think he'd be loose, but I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not trying to say. You know, if his life was in chaos, the kicking woes could have attributed to what was going on out there on the field. I mean. Yeah. Hotel mattresses can be a little uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? So
100%.
Here's the thing. This is such a weird dynamic for us because you and I usually talk about on field.
Right.
We rarely talk about off field happenings, particularly because we haven't been in the show that long to be talking about the off season.
Very true.
As a former player, you guys are under an intense amount of scrutiny. You're always in the public eye. If people know what you look like, you're noticed everywhere. And you lived in this city for 5 years of your life. Yeah. And it was the last 5 years that you played ball. And it's definitely, I don't know what it's like to be noticed everywhere I go. And if you're a diehard Ravens fan and you live in the Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County area, it's Ravens country. So You were out there in the public eye with your foundation and your charities and your giving back to the community. Plus, you were on TV a lot post playing career. You were with Bruce. You were doing TV. You were on radio. As a former player, what is it like when you see this type of allegation come out against somebody on the team?
Absolutely, it sucks, Matt. Like 100%, man. It sucks ass. Like you sit back and you're like, really, dang, Tuck, like. Dang, really, bro? Like, you know, so you deal with it just like fans deal with it. You get it kind of how fans get it. You know, a lot of times if we get it before the fans do, then the head coach will make an announcement to the entire team of what's going on, and you're going to hear some stuff, guys. This is what we're going to hear, and you're going to kind of tell you what it is. Tuck got to deal with this. We got to have his back on this or whatever it may be. You know, he's one of us, that type of thing, right? But at the end of the day, bro, like, you know, allegations are allegations. You know, everybody is innocent until proven guilty. And I hate the fact that this has happened to Justin Tucker. You know, I feel like when it rains, it pours. It's one of those things, man. You know, he has such a prolific career. All of a sudden, he started having some kicking woes this year. And then this mess comes out. And it kind of makes you, maybe this was already coming out earlier during the season to make you think, like, maybe this stuff was on his mind while he was missing kicks. You know, because a lot of times this stuff is delayed. You know, it doesn't always come out right away. It just kind of takes 2 or 3 months, and then it actually comes out. He probably got hit with a lawsuit or something, you know, 3 months ago or something, or 2 months ago. Maybe it was on his mind, and it kind of distracted him and threw him off a little bit. So you kind of think you have that in the back of your mind, like, you know, how long has this really been going on, you know? But I hate that it's happening to Tuck, man. And, you know, what I really hate, Matt, what I really hate is social media. Like, social media, everybody got a gun now. And the stuff that we got, like, I mean, I got the meme that I sent you. Did I send it to you or you sent it to me, to Justin Tucker?
Yeah, that was me that sent it to you. That's, man, Antonio Brown, though. He's diabolical.
Yeah, AB, I mean, man, stop, bro. Like, wherever you at, AB, right now, just stop. Like, whatever, like, Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker. You got to laugh at that. Like, it's just funny. Yeah, like, sometimes you got to laugh at your own pain, dog. You know, so yeah, I hope.
That man ain't laughing right now.
Well, I hope if Tuck seen it, you know, at least that was something that made him laugh. You know, hopefully that made him laugh a little bit. Because these type of allegations don't go away. You see what happened to Deshaun Watson, and they last forever. And people will mistreat you forever because of it. And a lot of this stuff is so innocent, man. Like, you know, when I say innocent, I'm not saying that Tucker was innocent in this situation. I'm saying, like, you know, you may see a pretty girl, she massaging you, and you heard that such and such does this, and then you try to get the same treatment that such and such got, and now you don't get that same treatment, and she ain't feeling that, she mad. You'll never know what this situation may be. And I don't know what this scenario is, but I hate the fact that he's in the middle of it, and I hate that it's starting off the offseason this way, because that's not a good vibe for the Baltimore Ravens.
It's almost like this was going to break no matter what. Now, hypothetically speaking, we beat Buffalo and we beat Kansas City, and we're now in the midst of early Super Bowl media, and this hits. It seems like there's always something that was going on during Super Bowl media week when it comes to the Ravens.
Yeah.
The Ravens' first Super Bowl, Ray Lewis was targeted for the prior year down in Atlanta.
Yeah, the murder
case. And, you know, it didn't go away. And then even Brian Billick got on in front of a podium of, he got up in front of the podium in front of hundreds of reporters and boldly proclaimed to them that you're not qualified to ask me questions about this. And I've respected Billick 1,000 times more that day because he stood up for his guys. Yeah. That's a very controversial situation. I believe that it's over and done with, and, you know, Ray moved on just like the rest of us have, and there's always discourse out there. But that was the 2000 Super Bowl. 2012, it was the year of injuries. It was the year of us barely making it into the playoffs. And then Ray gets hurt towards the end of the season, and then all of a sudden he's back for the playoff stretch with that harness on his, you know, on his arm. And there's the alleged deer antler spray and all that bullshit, and how'd he come back so quick? And, you know, Ray's one of one when it comes to working out. I mean, that's just me. I guess I'm biased. Maybe I don't want to believe it. I'm not trying to be naive as an adult, but there was that. There was the Terrell Suggs injury at the beginning of the year. There was a lot of things going on, and that surrounded the 2012 Super Bowl run. Yeah. You know, it took away from the fact that Joe Flacco had the best four games of his career. Jacoby was the MVP of the Super Bowl, even though they gave it to Joe. There was a lot you could have talked about, but they talked about Ray Lewis coming back from a torn triceps in half the amount of time it normally takes.
Crazy.
And this year would have been this. And this is not a good look right now. And
sucks.
It does, but I want to ask you this question before we move on to the next topic of the offseason and of what's been going on with Baltimore. Justin's making a lot of money for the Ravens.
Yeah.
He had statistically his worst year kicking in his career. Now the off-field trouble. Would it shock you if he retired?
No, I don't know what kind of money Justin's made. You know, obviously I don't know how much money he's made being in Baltimore, but no, it would not shock me if he retired.
In 12 years as a Ravens kicker,
yeah,
on the field alone, just based on NFL contracts, he's made $51 million.
Okay, that's what they said they've given him, right?
Yes.
So after taxes, he made about 26 mil total. So you got to look at it and say, all right, can I live off 26 including, mil?
That's not including the Royal Farm sponsorships. That's not including
mm-hmm.
the First Mariner sponsorships and all his side projects and his investments and all that.
So just the Ravens have given him 51 mil. Okay, correct. So after that, he see about 26, 27 total.
Yeah.
And he still got to pay his agent out of that. So his agent going to get a nice little chunk. Then he got to pay for wherever he lives in Baltimore. I don't know if he has a place back home because I think he's from overseas, if I remember correctly, right?
No, He's from Texas.
He's from Texas. I don't know why I thought he was from overseas. It's crazy.
You're thinking of the other kicker that got in trouble.
No, I was thinking, I thought Tuck had such a heavy accent when I seen him. I thought he was from overseas, like England or something.
No, he's from Texas.
So. You know, he has a lot of things. I'm sure he got a home back in Texas. Because if I was him, I would have a permanent house there so I could at least get a tax cut. You know, he get taxed in every single city he plays in, so those taxes come out. you know, all Maryland's that stuff. Rough too. We get, yep, Maryland's rough, you know, and then he turns around and has to give an agent his cut and then pay for wherever he got to stay, both places, all that stuff. So yeah. I would think he probably got at least maybe 10 mil in the bank. That's not including the sponsorships, because I don't know anything about his sponsorships, what he getting, but I'm just talking about football wise. He probably got about 10 mil locked away where he feels probably safe. And I don't know what kind of investments and stuff that he's done, if he's done anything like that. You know, some people be like, man, 10 mil is all I need to walk away. And some people don't be that way. So it just depends on what kind of life Tucker has and what kind of life he lives. If he's very, you know, if he's very frivolous and he's spending money and just blowing money everywhere, then nah, he need to keep playing. It's, right now is not the time to walk away, you know. But if he's very, very frugal and he don't spend money at all, then he has a lot of money locked away. I mean, the way we looked at it, when I remember playing, my financial advisor would tell me, he's like, if you get $1 million in the bank, that's guarantee you $5,000 a month, every single year for the rest of your life. If you just get $1 million in the bank. And that'll give you $5,000 a month just on interest alone. So you'll never have to touch the million. You can just live off the $5,000 a month. So if, imagine you got $2 million, that's $10,000 a month. Right. You know, if you got $3 million, that's $15,000 a month. Just interest, not spending your money. You still get to keep your money in the bank, just getting the interest off that money. That's the kind of money that you will make every single year. So if you got $10 million, bro, he's sitting pretty with at least $50,000 a month that he's getting, and he should be straight, you know, for the rest of his life. So it just, it just depends on how he lives, how he spends his money, and what kind of investments he's made, and what kind of, you know, I don't know. I mean, if I was him, I would feel good about walking away from a game at this point, but I would want to clear my name too at the same time. And yeah. I would want to play through me clearing my name.
Yeah. You know? I understand that. He is 35 or 36 years old at this point. I know he's at least 35 at this point, but
yeah.
Kickers have a lot more longevity career wise because of the damage that they don't take on their bodies. Guys can kick 20, 25 years. They've done it before. Stover did it. Vinatieri, all those guys.
And we talked about it too, Matt. You know, all he got to do is just kick field goals. He ain't got to kick no kickoffs no more.
Yeah.
Stop kicking kickoffs and just kick field goals. And then you tell the coach the distance that you want to kick from, you good to go.
What Stover was talking about. Yeah.
right.
But moving on, I feel as though Tuck got 12 minutes of our attention.
He deserved it though. Stupid shit.
Yeah, he did. Todd Monken signed an extension to remain in Baltimore at least for another year. They haven't announced the terms and the length of the extension.
That's huge though. That's huge.
It is huge. It's for the continuity of the offense.
Yeah. 3 years in the same offense is big.
3 years, and it probably makes things a lot easier for the guys in the offseason to just work on the terminology, the route tree, the concept, everything like that. So like you told me, you had a different offensive coordinator every year you were here. And
all 5 years, different OC, never same offense. Right.
So you were learning a new playbook every offseason.
Every year.
But that's good. Monk, I really thought this might have been the year Monk got at least a decent look at an NFL head coach job, but
I don't think everybody's cut out to be a head coach. I don't care what they're people not. Say, man. You know, I don't. When I look at Todd Monken, bro, stay an OC. Don't go be a head coach. Yeah. Just be the best OC you could possibly be and make them and break the bank on their ass. Be an OC and assistant head coach.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, it's definitely good for us. I'm happy that Monken's staying. He's got Lamar playing the best ball of his life, and Lamar seems very comfortable in his offense, and Derrick Henry seemed to gel in the offense, and now they have a whole offseason to tinker with it and tailor make it to those two together as opposed to just an offseason. Now they have, you know, it's not from like the middle of March to July. Now they've played in it for a whole year together, and now the offseason, and Derek's not going to be going anywhere. DaCosta made that pretty crystal clear.
Good.
So, Monken staying another year, at least another year. I'm happy for him. It just shows the continuity that we need. So, I don't see any downside to it because Lamar produces. Everybody's producing in this offense, and it's an NFL offense. It's not like we're watching a NFL running attack with the JV football passing attack that we had under Greg Roman. And
the only bad thing about retaining your OC for 3 years is that now everybody got 2 years of tape on you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they know exactly what you can do. So they know how to break down your defense. Your offense. They know exactly what your strengths, your weaknesses are, and all the analytics come into play. They still got to stop you, but they got a much better chance of stopping you if you're running the same stuff every single year. You're not changing anything. You know, right. So that's the only bad thing about it. But it's a blessing for the guys that's on offense because now they can have a different level of communication, almost an unseen communication. I just look at you and you know exactly what I'm thinking, you know, because we've been in this offense for 3 years together versus me having to check off every single thing.
And
silent Jess.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sticking with the offense, sticking with Lamar Jackson, he has opted out of the Pro Bowl. I really think that was a smart decision. There's no need to go there and play in any game and potentially get hurt. With it essentially being the off season. I think he's a little pissed off about the way.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Lamar pissed off and he ain't make it. Like, last thing I want to do is go play in a damn Pro Bowl game. Right. I've been there, I've done it already. I want to go somewhere where I haven't been. And it was only Super Bowl goals for him. And he was only focused on that this year. So, yeah, he could have went to the Pro Bowl and enjoyed himself, spent time with his teammates and the rest of the guys in the league, or he could have stayed at home and drowned in misery like he's probably doing right now, because I'm sure he's pissed off. He's going to be really pissed off next week when these boys play the Super Bowl game. He's not in it.
Yeah, he's not in that mind frame, and I don't blame him. Some of the guys that aren't used to going to the Pro Bowl, they're probably going to go and run around in their shorts and a T-shirt and play dodgeball and all that goofy shit. But I'm glad Lamar it shows that he cares. And the Pro Bowl is a glorified. It's not even really that anymore when they're getting the fourth and fifth and sixth alternates, you know? Yeah. So, you know, I'm cool with him skipping the Pro Bowl. And that's another set of offensive news. Mark Andrews and his girlfriend received an inordinate amount of death threats and harassment on their inboxes on social media, on the comments, on all across TikTok and Instagram. I'm not gonna lie, I find it to be a ridiculous practice that fans go that far. Now, I'm a diehard Ravens fan, just like a lot of other people around this city, this state, this country, however, we're everywhere. But to threaten somebody's life because they dropped a football, it's absolutely insane to me. I don't understand how you can function as a human being when you're threatening physical harm to an innocent girl and Mark Andrews because he dropped a ball. Now, I have no problem saying I was pissed when he dropped the football. I was pissed when he fumbled. We expressed that on the post game show live. After the game a couple weeks ago,
we did.
But at the end of the day, this is just it's a game.
Yeah,
I understand.
It's the game though.
It's the game. But the thing is, you and I talked about this.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Bro. We called each other on I called you on the phone and it's like, okay. We're pissed off about it, but it's not going to stop me from functioning. I still got to go to work the next day. You still got to go to work the next day.
100%.
Am I upset about it? Yeah. I haven't really watched a whole lot of football, and I didn't sit down and watch any of these games all the way through last weekend. And I'm going to watch the Super Bowl because it's the Super Bowl, but am I going to be hate watching the entire time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah. You know,
all of them teams, F both of them teams.
Both of them. I don't like any of them. And they're two of the five teams that beat us this year. So
100%. When do they play? I don't even know when they play. That's how mad I am right now. Next weekend.
It's next weekend. I think it's I think it's the ninth.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, you know. So, like, I'm kind of disconnected from being invested into the game. If I had to choose, I'd rather see Saquon win over Patrick Mahomes going for a three-peat. Because if I see Travis Kelce propose to Taylor Swift, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Man, he's not gonna propose to that girl. I know they're putting that stuff out there. The fact that they put it out there is even more reason why he's not gonna do it.
I know.
People, that's why I hate social media. Everybody got something to say, man. I tell you what, the whole Mark Andrews thing, straight up, I'm gonna be 100 with everybody out here in the world. Nobody feels worse about that catch and that drop that fumble and that drop ball than he does. All right. Nobody feels what he feels. We all upset at him for dropping it. We all upset at him for fumbling the ball. I guarantee you that none of us feel as worse as he feel inside for being the one to drop the fumble and to drop the pass at the end of the game to tie the game up. You know, and to be honest with you, it never even should have came to that. We shouldn't even been to that situation in the first place. We should have been up. We should have led the entire game.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree
with you. It never came to that. The game wasn't lost off that one drop or that one fumble or that one catch. It was lost earlier in the game. And the thing that I love about Lamar Jackson, why I love Lamar so much, because Lamar was a huge part of that loss too, with those two turnovers.
He battled back
and played a game like he wanted to win the second half of that game. He put his all, he put his heart into it. He made great decisions. If he'd have been as focused as he was in the second half as he was in the first half, then we wouldn't have even been in that situation. Trust me. Because he came out the gates focused as hell. Then he got relaxed as soon as they scored that first touchdown. So easy. It was so easy that first drive. And it was so easy that he relaxed a little bit and he came back and made two mistakes back to back to back on two drives. All right. And then that messed with everybody's mind. And people don't understand like how mental the game really is.
Right.
So as he making those mistakes, everybody over there doing this, like, oh my God, everybody got something to say in their own head, their own mind. And it makes you feel a little bit standoffish about certain things, or you move a little bit slower, or you move a little bit timid, because now you, every mistake that's made on that field, now you don't want to be the one to make the next mistake. So right. Now instead of you playing loose, now you playing tight. So it just changes the dynamic. Even up top in the box, those coaches are calling plays differently. You know, every time you make a mistake. Oh, shit.
When you're playing tight. So, I mean.
Say it again, Matt. You was breaking up.
I mean.
Say it again.
Hey, they got something for when you're playing tight. All the guys seem to love it.
The massage ladies. What you thinking about? I don't know what you're talking about, dog. Hey. Are you talking about the massage ladies?
God damn it. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't stand you, dog.
They must not have made the trip to Buffalo with them.
The masseuses didn't come?
Nope.
Yeah, man, I don't know why we just don't pitch in and just get our own masseuses, man. And that way we ain't got to deal with this mess. You know, just find these three or four girls that's going to massage the whole team, and we all pitch in and we support them. We put them on payroll. And that way we ain't got to worry. No.
That's such an asinine concept.
Hey, it's not the right way to do it.
Hey,
you don't think there's girls out here, dog, women out here that want to get paid, you know, for this thing, for a little tub and rub?
Oh my God.
Is it a tuck and rub or a tug and rub?
Yeah, tug and rub. Yeah. My man, like,
all right. I don't know if we're supposed to be talking about this right now. I'm sorry. This is Matt's fault. If you listen to this, it's all Matt's fault. He brought this up. Yeah, but these guys got everybody got a little tense and tight during that game because of how things started to fall apart at one point, man. And that, well, it becomes this chain reaction effect. And so when Mark had that fumble, it wasn't on purpose. He wasn't holding the ball loose.
Right.
He tried to make a move, and he made the move. The guy just made a phenomenal play by punching the ball out. I mean, he didn't get tackled on either one of those plays. So, you know, he just made two mistakes, man, that just cost us big. And it was at the wrong time of the game. You know, Lamar made two mistakes early in the game that cost us big, too, at the beginning of the game. You know, that kind of trickled over towards the end of the game. Man, I hate it. You know, but we lost a game that we should have easily won. And the Buffalo Bills did not beat the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens beat themselves. You lose the turnover battle, you're supposed to lose the game. That's how
you're right. You're absolutely right. And I know he felt bad. The only thing that really left a bad taste in my mouth was that he didn't address the media. Other than that,
I wouldn't address the media either. What are they going to ask you? How did it feel to drop that ball?
I know they ask dumbass questions.
What do you want me to say, dog?
But I
wouldn't address the damn media either. The last thing I want to do is go talk to them and tell them how I felt after I dropped the ball like that. How do you feel? That you know you cost us the game, Mark. So how do you feel? I'm about to go commit suicide right now. What you want me to tell you? You understand what I'm saying?
Fair enough. But that'll do it for the Ravens off-field news for the end of January. We're getting ready to go into a little bit of a lull. It's going to be the Pro Bowl. We got the Super Bowl next week, and then after that, it's pretty much free agency in March and the draft in April. I do want to share a little anecdote with everybody that's listening. Daniel, you're going to find some humor in this. Anthony Mitchell called me the other day.
Yeah.
It was, I think it was earlier in the week, and it was like 6:30 at night, and he was like, "Hey, Matt, it's Anthony Mitchell. What's going on, man?" I was like, "What's up, Mitch?" I was like, "I got your number, brother." He's like, "Hey, I just want to talk ball with you." I'm like, "All right." So we, for 23 minutes, we sat there and talked about the Ravens' loss, and he literally told me, "I told you so" to everything that he talked about on the show prior to the game. Almost all of it happened. Yeah. And my wife, I hung up and my wife was like, "Who was that on the phone?" I said, "Anthony Mitchell." She's like, "So you see and talk to Daniel twice a week. You do your baseball show once a week. You do a wrestling show every other week. Dang. And now you got wrestling, or now you got football players just calling you to just bullshit with you." I'm like, "Yeah." Yeah. She's That's like, "Don't think you're a celebrity."
That's how it starts, babe. You better jump on the bandwagon now, baby, before Matt just blow the hell up and he out of here. You better jump on the bandwagon now.
It was just cool because, you know, Mitch is so smooth on the phone, man. And he's just so
he just
goes right into chopping up. He's like, "Hey, when are you and Wilcox gonna be shooting again, man? Just let me know. I'm gonna hop on there with y'all." I'm like,
"Okay."
I'm like, "Let us kind of get over this first, man. We'll bring you on." Bro. Like, I'm like, he's like, I just wanna keep on coming back and being a guest. I'm like, he's eventually going to have his name on the bottom of the screen permanently, knowing him.
Yeah, he's going to come on eventually. He'll be there with us. Everybody, if you get a chance to go get this book, this is the book that they was reading right out there on the field that the Philadelphia Eagles have been reading every single week. So go get your Inner Excellence book if you haven't gotten it already. It's hot. Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime, so you can go on Amazon and purchase it. It's not very expensive. But this book is absolutely taken off and blew up all over the freaking place. So if you get a chance, go get your Inner Excellence book off Amazon Prime. All right. Shout out to Jim. Shout out to Jim Murphy.
I do want to shout out one of the guys. Speaking of books, I want to shout out one of the Ravens.
Edgar Jones.
He was a guest of ours this year. Edgar Jones just had his underdog story. Edgar Jones. It released earlier this week. It's his first book. And we're really proud of you, Edgar, for putting that out there. And he's, you know,
I was looking for my copy. I just got Edgar's book is on Amazon Prime as well. It's 64 underdog story. And I actually purchased it. So I have this book a copy as well, but I'll show it the next show that we have. I'll definitely put it up on the screen so everybody can see it. But 64 the underdog, go check it out. Edgar Jones on Amazon Prime. A lot of love, a lot of support. Fellow teammate and a Believe in the Ravens podcast member as well. Love having him on the show. Matt, thank you, man. Appreciate you, brother. You do a great job, man. You're killing it. Stay focused. Make sure when you have all these times for all these podcasts and things that you're doing, don't forget to have a conversation with your wife. You know, pillow talk a little bit, you know?
I mean, hey, you're the one that's on Baltimore radio and you don't even tell me. No, Let's not go there.
That laugh you just gave when your wife hear you laugh the way you just laughed, bro. I'm telling you, it's gonna be some issues.
Hold on. You're making a smart ass comment about this, but yet I had to find out on social media that you did a Baltimore podcast interview on 93.1 on a country station that had everything in the world. And I was like, oh,
is that what it was?
Yeah, it was a country music radio station, 93.1 WPOC with Michael J. And
it went great.
It went great.
It was a great interview.
Yeah.
I talked about Matt on there too. I said, "Man, this guy that's my co-host, he's a superstar. He's blowing up."
And I had a couple of dads at my daughter's basketball game telling me about it. And I'm like, "Oh, let me text Daniel." And you were like, "Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you I did that." Oh, okay. Yeah, you're telling me I'm about to blow up, but yet you're doing media in Baltimore and you're not even telling me.
Man, it's not on me, Matt. Like, these guys are calling me. Like, a lot of the radio hosts got me on speed dial because I did this stuff all the time back when I played. So they'll just pick up the phone and call me and say, "Wilcox, can you come on real quick?" And it'd be within an hour sometimes. I'm like, "Yeah, sure, I'll jump on." So long as it's not like this, a video interview like this, then I'll just jump on any time of the day, just sit in my truck, do the interview. And then if it's like this with me and you real personal, then we got to make an appointment for that. But most of the time, they just call me last minute. Hey, man, you mind jumping on in the next hour? Yeah, I don't mind. Let's do it.
Yeah. You know, I saw you tagged on social media and all that. I was like, this man doesn't tell me shit.
I be ripping and running, Matt. I know how I am, bro. If they call me sometimes. What I'm saying, if they call me right now, 5 minutes later, I forgot already. And I was like, please remind me, because I promise you I won't remember if you don't remind me. You know, so most of the time I've already forgotten 10 minutes later, bro.
I got you, but
yeah, charge it to my head, not my heart.
all day long. But that'll do it for this episode of Believe in Ravens, brought to you by BetOnline AG. Daniel, we'll be back later on next week with some more Ravens news and notes. Hopefully nobody else gets in trouble. Hopefully
Ravens, behave. Behave.
Behave yeah. is
be
the
good
key
men.
Word.
Be good we men.
Be real good men.
Yeah.
That'll do it, folks. Daniel, let's sign it off.
Bird Gang. Love y'all, man. Welcome back. Let's do it.